Con Show with me, Anna DeBlanta, sitting in today for Ro is Brian Noonan. You know him, you love him. Star of WGN and also Tony and Tina's Wedding.
Oh, I'm a big shot, Anna.
Mentioned you are.
Sure.
We got to talk about jobs and the economy. We saw, as you saw, Brian, both candidates, Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, they talked jobs and how they are the candidate that can help create more of them. Both of them chose Michigan as the backdrop for important speeches this week.
Huge battlefield for them.
Absolutely. And you remember Hillary Clinton lost it to Bernie Sanders, and that was a surprise there. And so there's a lot to be done in terms of convincing people in America that there is a plan ahead for them that will be helpful to make the economy stronger and work for them. And as the case may be, maybe not as much. They haven't. The middle class, of course, not gaining as much from this recovery as the upper class and the wealthy in America. So both of these candidates realize that's an issue that has to be addressed. Both of them came forward with their plan for jobs. Mm-hmm. And so we want to talk about this, their ideas, and with Dr. J. John Najarian, friend of the show, founder of OptionMonster.com, and you see him on CNBC. Dr. J., how are you this afternoon?
Great to be with you, Anna and Brian. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure.
Great to have you. What are you hearing when you hear both of these candidates this week? Is there anything you really like about what you're hearing, just in a big picture way, or anything you really don't like?
Well, I always love free.
We do like free.
Yeah, free isn't real. Free usually means included. So, for instance, if you go to Notre Dame and they say, oh, the students get their tickets for free. Well, but the tuition and room and board are $60,000, so it's kind of included. It's not free. The same thing here, Anna and Brian, is true with this. When Hillary Clinton today more or less mouthed a lot of Bernie Sanders, that you correctly called it, Anna, that she lost the state, Michigan, to Bernie Sanders. She's reaching out to those voters by saying, hey, I think we should do away with all student debt. And that, you could hear a pin drop when you say that. Of course, you're going to have some applause from the crowd that is a Democrat crowd. Mm-hmm. But it's $1.3 trillion. How do you wave that magic wand? I mean, even with the tax increases she's proposed, you don't get anywhere near $1.3 trillion. And that's what it is today, guys. Mm-hmm. There are things that you could do to help make college more affordable, but clearly wiping out the student debt is a pretty expensive proposition. It could be popular with some voters, but again, there is no free lunch. There's no free ride. Somebody's paying for it, and there aren't enough billionaires in this country to pay for $1.3 trillion.
Right. Dr. J, she is talking, we should just make it clear, about public colleges and universities. You have to be in-state and of a certain income. So it's not free universal for everyone. The proposal is that. But you're saying that adds up to $1.3 trillion, and maybe the math isn't working here when it comes to how you pay for that.
Correct. The math isn't working. And quite frankly, to throw more back on the states or to basically legislate, I guess, because again, I know you two both understand this, but presidents can't just wave a magic wand and say tuition is this,
right?
Because the House of the Congress, of course, that's where all the revenue bills start. Then they get through there to the Senate, and if they pass both houses, the president can sign them. Without that, you don't have anybody. It doesn't matter if it's Barack Obama or Hillary or Donald. Nobody can just push one agenda and say, because I'm the president, I can make this happen.
What about
anything that requires spending, you can't do that.
What about her proposal of allowing people to refinance their debt? Do those numbers work out a little bit better? Is that a more feasible solution for the millions of Americans who have that college debt?
Absolutely, Brian. That's the much smarter solution, is that, for instance, right now, student loans, let's say that the average is paying about 6% interest. Mm-hmm. Some are lower, but let's say the average is 6%. With national rates for two-year money from the federal government under 0.7% and 30-year interest rates way under 3%, you'd think that we could offer students that are staying current with their bills a much better deal than 6%, and I think that's a smart move to do.
Well, then you don't have to worry about the default of those loans and that that $1.3 trillion that you talked about. You can still collect most of that.
Exactly, exactly. In other words, instead of that being the liability that it is, you could start chipping away at that at a much faster pace, and the leftover money that kids have in their pockets, who, of course, aren't kids by the time they're 30 and 35, when they're paying off the bulk of that, the extra money in their pocket gets back into the economy,
right,
instead of just being sent to, you know, the loan agency, whoever it is, that made it to them.
You know, for some time, Trump was leading when you looked at just the polls alone about when asked people, who do you think would be better for our economy? Who do you think would be better for creating jobs? Trump was leading Clinton in earlier polls, and now they're more neck and neck. The most recent CNN poll shows Clinton with 50%, Trump with 48%. I think one of her criticisms, and it was certainly loud and clear when she spoke in Michigan today, is that Trump's plan is wrong because she says that the plan would drive up our debt to unrecoverable levels and that kind of thing. We do have a soundbite also, I think we want to play here, of Trump speaking today. He kind of did that preemptive speech in advance of Clinton's speech, and he spoke to this issue of the debt.
Normally you would say you want to reduce your debt, and I like to reduce debt too, as much as anybody. The problem is you have a military problem, you have an infrastructure problem, a tremendous infrastructure problem, and you have other problems. And also, the asset is your rates are so low. What's going to happen when the rates eventually will go up and you can't borrow? You absolutely can't borrow because it's too expensive. It would destroy, you know, our balance sheet, totally destroy the balance sheet. So you'd be paying so little interest right now. This is the time to borrow.
So that was on CNBC. You're familiar with them, Dr. J. Your response to that.
Yeah, what do you make of that?
He was on our air at 7 a.m. in the morning Eastern time today. I agree 100%. The infrastructure, the driver I'm with right now in the car, we were talking about LaGuardia and how it was a third world country, and JFK luckily has been redone. But there are so many airports, so many bridges, so many roads. We all know where we could be spending the money, and I would be borrowing money. Some Republicans or conservatives would say, well, we've borrowed too much already. I would be refinancing the debt first, just like Anna, you would do, or Brian would do if you guys had a lot of debt. You're probably too smart for carrying too much. But if you have a lot of debt, what do you do when rates are down? If you can, and of course the U.S. government can, refinance its debt. It just issues new bonds. I would issue those new bonds at these lower rates and refinance my debt, same way Apple Computer has done it, same way Microsoft has done it. Microsoft just did, I think, $28 billion a week ago. So that's what they should do. That's the smart businessman in Mr. Trump when he says that. Now, as far as taking on additional debt beyond paying down the debt that we already have, obviously, same situation we talked about a moment ago. If you have more money in the hands of students that are paying at a lower interest rate back their student loans, same thing is true of the government. If we're paying back at a lower interest rate than we're presently borrowing at, I think that's freeing up some capital that we could put into these infrastructure projects. That would be one of the things that I would champion and that I would think would be very smart for America at this point.
Both candidates in their speeches this week have talked about the wealthiest Americans paying their fair share. They both use those terms, but both coming at it from different directions. Donald Trump talking about restructuring the tax brackets and putting caps on things and getting rid of estate taxes. Hillary Clinton going the other way, saying we're going to increase income taxes on the wealthiest people. We're going to raise the capital gains tax. Out of those two proposals, and granted I boiled it down, which seems more feasible, and will the wealthiest portion of Americans pay their quote-unquote fair share?
I wish they would. And by the way, Brian, I would say, and this is not a class thing at all, that the wealthiest Americans are the corporations.
Mm-hmm.
They live longer than all of us because corporations, you know, with the exception of the ones that go bankrupt, never die.
Correct.
They sit there and they've dropped their participation in how much corporations pay of our collective taxes has dropped down, I believe, under 12% of the total. So I think the fact that so much of it's overseas, whether Mr. Trump's plan, which he's saying, you know, create some sort of a tax holiday, bring that money back. They won't bring it back if it's taxed at 35 or higher percent. They just won't. But if you give them a tax holiday and say, for the next year, you can bring it back in at 10%, that money would come flying back into this country. And like I say, I'm not saying that's something unique to Mr. Trump. He's just the one that stated that's what he would propose. I bet Ms. Clinton would agree with as far as corporations bringing those monies that are domiciled overseas. And I think that would be a very popular thing with the American people. It's not popular with corporations, but they are indeed the ones that are the richest and that should be paying their fair share, and they're not.
Dr. J, before we let you go, I want to ask you about something else. We heard in Kim's news, the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ, if I heard correctly, all closed at records on the same day. What do you make of what's this positive news in our markets? I know you follow them quite closely.
Well, absolutely, Anna. And some of it is recovery of these discretionary spends, like at Macy's. We just had Nordstrom after the bell. They're screaming higher as well. They were battered because they were hurt by Amazon. They're making a comeback. I would take profits on those. But broadly, the market, with interest rates hovering near zero still in our country, negative interest rates in at least 20 other major countries overseas, I think means lower for longer on interest rates, higher for longer on the stock market. So I think you'll hear more of that, more of the records set by NASDAQ, S&P, and Dow than you have in an awfully long time.
All right.
So you're bullish. Good to hear.
Yeah, not bad. Right. Dr. J, we appreciate the time. As always, people can follow you on Twitter at John Najarian, so they definitely should. And I know we will talk to you again. Thanks a lot.
Love your show, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Dr.
Take
J.
Take care.
OptionMonster.com, another place. Another thing he'd like us to
promote, yes.
I think.
Yes, OptionMonster.com, TradeMonster.com. So go and follow him on Twitter at John Najarian. All right, let's do this. Then there's more. But first, yes, she looked up. Oh, is he going to forget me again? No, I saw her little ears perk up. We must check the traffic trouble spots with Violetta Padromatic.